hello, everyone. Welcome to Shakya Presents Movie Night. I'm your host. My name is Rudy Obias, and joining me is...
Harry Nemiroff.
Yes, and this is our episode on Guillermo del Toro Presents Mama. This is a horror movie, a PG-13 horror movie coming out this weekend. Let me read a synopsis here. Annabelle and Lucas are faced with the challenge of raising his young nieces that were left alone in the forest for 5 years, but how alone were they? So this film was based on a short film, and it was expanded into a 100-minute movie. Perry, what did you think of Mama? I know you're really into horror movies, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this film.
Well, first off, as a quick disclaimer, I did not develop a lisp or marbles in my mouth since our last podcast. I got my wisdom teeth out, so in case I'm a little hard to understand, apologies. But as for Mama, I liked it, and I didn't like it. Kind of right down the middle with it. You know, it's got this really effective, dark, whimsical tone that Guillermo del Toro is really good at creating, and it creates... like an environment that feels really fresh for horror movies. It's not your typical ghost story, which is a good thing, because we're getting quite a few ghost stories lately. But at the same time, it's not as good as it could be, and it's not as good as it could be throughout the large majority of the movie. It's not all that scary. A lot of the CGI imagery is so digital that makes it not scary. And then the story itself just isn't developed enough to make much sense. The core concept of it, which is Annabelle and Lucas taking in these girls who have been living by themselves in the woods for, I think it's 5 years, that part works really well. It's really creepy to have some, you know, crazy kid who can't even speak crawling around your floor and hopping out windows in your house. But then when we get into the backstory and the details of Mama, it kind of breaks down and it's not so scary anymore.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of on board with you. And I guess listeners, horror is not my favorite of genres. I mean, I do like some horror movies, but it's the one genre that I just can't understand why everyone just falls in love with it so much. I think... for me, like watching this movie, I just realized like I don't like all the horror tropes so much that it just like my mind can't get wrapped around like the logic of why do you investigate a cabin in the woods at night? Like that kind of stuff doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't feel like it's people should be doing stuff like that. But I understand that's what happens in horror movies. I agree with you that the general tone of the film feels really authentic, and that's probably one of the best things of the film. I did see it as this character Annabelle played. I was surprised to see that Jessica Chastain was in this movie. She plays Annabelle, and kind of her arc of becoming somewhat of a mother herself. I actually like that. I like the family dynamic of this film, but when it did get to the creepy ghost story stuff, I wasn't so scared. I was thinking to myself, maybe if this movie was like a rated R movie, I probably would have fell in line a little bit more.
I don't even think it needed to be rated R. I think that, you know, without spoiling anything, they propose all these different reasons for crazy happenings in the house and, you know, what happened to those two little girls out in the woods. And I think that it was just a matter of going one way or the other with it. And the way they went just gives you this really convoluted scenario that needs investigating. And you know, what it turns out to be just wasn't really worth all the effort.
No, not at all. And I think... If it spent a little bit more time with, I guess the stuff that I liked, the family dynamic, it just seemed like this movie was throwing up these red herrings that really didn't pay off. And when they did pay off, they were just kind of stupid in my opinion. Guillermo del Toro didn't write or direct this film. He produced it, but it seems like he likes to handle material that likes to put children in scary situations. I thought of the last movie that he produced, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. And I believe we talked about that on this podcast in 2011. And that film as well has a little girl in the center of it getting terrorized by demons.
I was a big fan of that movie. That movie's packaged in a much neater fashion. Like that was like a much tighter script. This is, you know, a little all over the place in terms of the details. And I also don't quite understand, I don't know if you've seen the short that Mama is based on. I don't entirely understand what Guillermo del Toro saw in that screamed feature film. Like there's a really, they really do honor that short in a great effective way in the feature. But the short is a moment. It's not a story. And it was all up to the writers of this film to develop a story around this one single scare. And, you know, while that one single scare might still work, the story that they built around it is just clunky as ever.
Yeah, it felt like it should have been a tighter film, but it wasn't. I agree with you. I wasn't scared so much while watching the film. The audience that I was with, they were really terrified, but I think it was just like all the jump scares that this movie throws at you. I did appreciate Jessica Chastain in this film. I think she's wonderful in anything, and just seeing her in this movie, you know, I like her in practically anything that she's in, and she's pretty great in this movie.
I thought it was a little bit of a tough sell to have her with the dark hair and the sleeve tattoo and all that. It was a little too, you know, I guess maybe after Zero Dark Thirty and most of the other roles we've seen her in, it was just a bit of a jarring twist to have her kind of playing rocker. But she did carry the movie really well, and I thought she worked really well with those kids. I mean, the one little girl really just, you know, crawls around the house and shoves things in her mouth, but the older one, that she gives a really good performance. I think that the majority of the movie rides on her, and the plot develops as that character changes throughout the film, and it's quite the weight for a girl that age to bear. And then I don't want to butcher his name now, but from Game of Thrones, who plays Lucas, he kind of amounts to nothing, I guess. They put the beginning of the film in his perspective and a lot of weight on that character, and then all of a sudden he's gone, and they try to bring him back, and he's like an ineffectual nothing.
Yeah, well, there's just definitely a certain point in the movie where it wants to just focus on Annabelle's kind of arc into becoming somewhat of a mother figure herself, and that's the moment when they abandon the Lucas character. You're right, they do put this kind of importance on him early on in the film, but it doesn't really hold water towards the end of the film. I actually enjoyed the little girl that played Lily, the smaller girl. There was definitely a point when I would just like love watching her in the background be silly and throw things around. I thought every time she was on screen, I thought she was the most adorable thing. And then when she was like throwing stuff around, just made me love her even more.
She was key to making this whole movie work too, because it's like when you see her doing all those crazy things, it's like kind of disturbing, but you want to laugh at the same time. And I think the fact that Mama doesn't take itself so seriously is what lets it be fun enough to make it worth watching.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate that little girl. She was just absolutely adorable. And I guess, well, what did you think of Mama herself, the ghost, and the design of her?
I liked it when it seemed practical, but when it was digital, it was so obviously digital that I could not get on board with it whatsoever. It just looked silly. I like the I'm still really into that black bleeding wall effect, and the moths creep me out too, even though I think that's like a thing Del Toro does a little too often with like bugs and weird things like that. But that creeped me out. But when you get really close to Mama, I believe that's a person there. And I thought that worked really well.
Yeah. There were definitely bits and pieces of it where I was, on board with the creature design or the ghost design of it. And one bold thing I did realize in this movie is that I like the way this movie ends. It doesn't end in your prototypical horror fashion or prototypical movie way. I thought it was a pretty bold ending to end a movie like this, like that. I'm not going to give it away, but that was one of the better things I did like with this movie. But I think overall, For me, though, there was just so much dumb stuff in it and just so much stupid logic. I guess in terms of this custody battle between Lucas and the other aunt from the wife's side, and I thought that was absolutely silly. That just really didn't make much sense to me.
I'm totally on board with what you said about the ending, though. I love that ending. I did not see it coming. Wait until you see it. It's a bold move, and it works. It works really well. But yeah, with the aunt, that was kind of silly. And then they make this whole big deal about the two little girls. Their father leaves them out in the woods because some sort of financial drama that goes on, and that ultimately amounts to nothing. So that was completely pointless. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, maybe this is the difference between, you know, a horror lover and someone who doesn't like it as much, is I am a horror obsessed. And the second I see a trailer for a scary movie, whether it's good or bad, there's a piece of me, no matter what, that is curious and wants to see it and wants to be scared. I enjoy being scared. I enjoy kind of waiting in those eerie environments. And this delivered enough for me that made it worthwhile. I cannot say that I'll ever see it again, but you know, if you're a horror lover and you do enjoy that, this delivers better than Texas Chainsaw did. So if you're reeling after that one, this could make you feel a little better.
Yeah, I think this movie is better than most that you would get at the beginning of the year, namely in January. I mean, I thought this was better than Gangster Squad. Gangster Squad was definitely more terrible than Mama. And I guess with the horror thing, I don't know. I just can't get behind horror so much. I mean, there are definitely horror movies that I love and enjoy, but for the most part, I just can't like horror movies just because it's a horror movie. I mean, my favorite genre is science fiction, and there's definitely a lot of dumb stuff in science fiction that I buy just to enjoy the genre, but I don't unapologetically love all science fiction movies just because there's a spaceship in it. You'll have to explain to me one day why people love horror movies so much.
I don't know if I could put that in words. And if I did put it in words, it'd probably make me sound like really sick and twisted.
Well, I guess I look forward to that conversation. Well, let's move along. We're not going to talk about the other movie that that comes out this week is the new Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, The Last Stand. I highly recommend checking it out. I think it's a fun movie, and it's definitely one of those like early 90s, late 80s Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, downright to the one-liners that had me. So I recommend checking that movie out. We didn't get a chance to talk about the Oscar nominations last week, so we're going to take the opportunity to talk about the Oscars this week. The movies that were nominated for the 85th Academy Awards, there was 9 movies out of the proposed 10, and here they are in alphabetical order. We have Amour, Argo, Beasts of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained, Les Miserables, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty. So, Perry, what are your thoughts on the movies that were nominated for Best Picture, and which movie do you think is going to win the Oscar this year?
I'm pretty cool with this list. I mean, it was pretty much what I expected, except maybe a more. I don't know, something just doesn't. It's like that battle with, what was it, WALL-E or Toy Story 3, where it's like, can you be nominated for Best Animated Film and Best Picture? It's either, to me, Best Picture or Best Foreign Language Film. But I'm also annoyed with that movie, and I say that without having seen it because I'm afraid it's going to make me too sad. So maybe I shouldn't be judging it at all. But otherwise, I mean, it's the list that I would expect. If I was the Academy and I was picking the best movie of the year, if you've seen my top 10 of the year, I'd obviously be picking Silver Linings Playbook. You know, it might not be the most well done of the bunch, but it's the one that stuck with me the most. It's the one I enjoyed the most and that moved me the most. I wouldn't mind seeing Zero Dark Thirty throw the fact that Kathryn Bigelow didn't get the best director nod back in the Academy's face and winning this. I don't think that's going to happen either. I have a feeling it's coming down to, I'm going to say Lincoln, which is disappointing because I did not like Lincoln, and I certainly did not enjoy it in the least. But then again, look what we've got going on with Argo. So Argo could turn around and, you know, surprise us all yet again.
Yeah, I do think Lincoln is going to win, and I wasn't a big fan of Lincoln. But it is the type of movie that would win the Best Picture award from the Academy Awards. I think all of these movies are fine. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Beasts of the Southern Wild, but I can absolutely see why it's nominated for Best Picture. As far as Amor, Perry, Amor is a great movie.
Great.
It was my number two movie of the year. It was one of three movies that I watched this year where I actually cried, and I hardly ever cry during movies, but I did three times this year, and Amor was one of the reasons why. It's a great film. I highly recommend checking that one out. Out of all these movies, the movie that I would want to see win Best Picture would be Zero Dark Thirty. It was my number four of 2012. I would love to see that win, but I'm sure it will not, considering that Catherine Bigelow was not nominated for director. And I honestly think it's going to come down to either Lincoln or Life of Pi. And between the two, I would say Life of Pi. I love Life of Pi as well. I think that's a great film. But honestly, the way I think it's going to shake out, and looking at the field of the directing, who was nominated for Best Director, we have Michael Haneke, Ben Zeitlin for Beasts of the Southern Wild, Michael Haneke for Amor, Ang Lee for Life of Pi, Steven Spielberg for Lincoln, and David O. Russell for Silver Linings Playbook. I think Ang Lee is going to win for directing, and I think Lincoln is going to win for Best Picture.
I don't think Life of Pi has a chance anywhere. I think it's going to end up being the one that's nominated and that never wins. There's just something about it. I mean, has it won much of anything thus far?
No, I think the big winner in terms of like the Golden Globes and Critic Awards would be Argo. That Argo and I feel like Zero Dark Thirty and Lincoln are the three movies that seem to be winning all the Golden Globes and other Critic Awards.
It'd be so nice to see Beast of the Southern Wild win something. I mean, I doubt it's going to happen, but I can't even begin to tell you how happy it makes me that Ben Zeitlin got the directing nod and Quvenzhané Wallace getting nominated for Best Actress just, like, puts the biggest smile on my face.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of opposed to Ben Zeitlin getting this directing nomination just simply because you could have taken him out and put Catherine Bigelow in. I think what she did with the Zero Dark Thirty is far greater than what Ben Zeitlin did with Beasts of the Southern Wild. I honestly think that I'm surprised that Ben Affleck wasn't nominated for directing. It seems like the popular pick, though, is Silver Linings Playbook. I enjoyed the movie quite a bit, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's my favorite in this field of nominations.
Another nomination, though, that makes me really happy and that I desperately want to win but I don't think is going to happen is in one of the other sections. It's costume design. I want Eiko Ashioka to win for Mirror Mirror so badly.
Yes, I did love the costume design in Mirror Mirror. We saw that together, I believe.
Yeah, and I just want her to get, you know, one last Academy Award. Her passing made me so incredibly sad. I've interviewed her a few times, and, like, her work is just incredible. And I don't know. I guess it's a sentimental thing more than anything, but I would love to see her take that.
Yeah, you have the two Snow White movies nominated here for costume design. Honestly, I think it's going to go to Les Miserables or Anna Karenina.
I'll probably go to Anna Karenina.
And I think out of all of these, out of all the nominations, you know, I don't feel – I think everything here is fine. I don't think anything got in that didn't deserve to get in there. I think out of all for Best Animated Feature, I think my favorite out of this lot is Paranorman. But looking at these nominations, I just think to myself it's been a pretty lackluster year in animation.
Oh, no way. I think animation – I mean, of the ones that were nominated, I'm really happy with I want Paranorman to win. I loved Paranorman. It nearly cracked my top 10. But I loved Frank and Weenie, too. I think Wreck-It Ralph is an achievement. I liked Frank and Weenie, too, but I have dog issues, so that movie left me a teary mess, so I'm a little bitter for that reason. But if Paranorman could pull that win out, I think it deserves it more than anything else on that list.
I'm rooting for Paranorman and all the other movies. I like Wreck-It Ralph. I wasn't a big fan of Frankenweenie, and I like Brave enough. I like everything enough, but the only movie that I feel is like a great standout is Paranorman. But honestly, I think it's going to go to Frankenweenie because it's going to be an opportunity for the Academy of Arts and Sciences to give an Oscar to Tim Burton.
I wouldn't mind if they did that. I just don't want Brave to get it. I'm going to be pissed if Brave gets that award.
I could tell that you were upset that it won the Golden Globe then.
Yeah, no, I was. I got really mad when that happened. Also because I ended up losing my family pool, well, tying in my family pool by one. So I just wanted to choose that one to blame it on because I don't think Brave deserved it.
Oh, that is so adorable that you guys have a family pool of the Golden Globes.
Oh,
all
yes.
Things. In cinematography, it seems like the popular vote is going to go to Roger Deakins for Skyfall, but I actually think Claudio Miranda for Life of Pi is going to win the cinematography award.
Yeah, you know, that actually could be the one place where Life of Pi could end up winning. I don't think it's going to win for any of the other ones it's nominated for, but this one, I think it's got the edge.
I think it's going to win for visual effects. It's also nominated for visual effects. I think it's going to win all the technical awards because I think out of all the movies nominated in any category, Life of Pi is far and away the best when it comes to like the technical know-how of putting a movie together.
I guess. I mean, I guess considering that category will probably come down to Life of Pi or The Hobbit and Unexpected Journey, the fact that The Hobbit wasn't a good movie overall will probably knock it out and might get that one going in Life of Pi too.
Yeah, and Richard Parker, the tiger in Life of Pi, there were moments when it was a real tiger and there was moments when it was a CGI tiger, and I thought it was pretty seamless.
Tiger was incredible.
Yeah.
The animals overall were incredible. I mean, the only time that movie actually looks all CGI-like is when it gets kind of like fantastical, but at the same time, that's kind of where the tone of the film was going, so it warranted it. But you know, it's a big difference between that and this tiger.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, there are definitely moments in Life of Pi where it looked really CGI, but it only helped the story and it went along with the general themes of the movie. And I thought that was pretty smart. You know, like, let's make it really look CGI, but it actually goes along with the movie. And we're not trying to create a reality here. It's definitely a fantasy world. That's why I think Ang Lee is going to win the directing Oscar, because I think what he did with that is from a source material who they thought it was not going to be adaptable to the big screen. It's quite an achievement, in my opinion. And in saying that, I think Life of Pi is also going to win Best Adapted Screenplay.
I think Best Director is going to Spielberg. But for screenplays, I was really happy the other night when Quentin Tarantino won, even though he gave a pretty awkward speech. But I would love to see him get up there on that stage and do it again for original screenplay. But at the same time, I think Mark Boll should take it for Zero Dark Thirty, or maybe even Wes Anderson and Roman Coppola for Moonrise Kingdom over him. But for adapted, I have a feeling that's going to Argo.
I think it's going to be a tough call between Argo and Life of Pi. I mean, I understand Argo is based on an article in Wired magazine, I believe, and Life of Pi, again, it was an unfilmable book, and what Ang Lee did with it was just, I thought, just so magical. Then again, I'm remembering the movie, and I did have problems with the way the whole story was framed, vis-a-vis the beginning of the movie and the end of the movie.
That's the one thing that I talked about that I did not like in my review, is I really was not happy with the bookend format. And if they would have just told the story, we didn't need a narrator. You could have just told the story from Pi's perspective, like young Pi's perspective, and let that be that.
Yeah, that was really the only problematic part of the film for me, but it's forgivable because it's such a great movie. It actually, It actually might go to Argo, but I would be rooting for Life of Pi. That's the movie I'm rooting for the most this year in the Oscars, that and Zero Dark 30. And when it comes down to original screenplay, I think it is going to go to Quentin Tarantino for Django Unchained. I mean, namely because I think that he should have won it for Inglourious Basterds in 2009, but he lost out to Mark Boll for The Hurt Locker. We have that same situation again, and part of me thinks it's not going to happen in that way where Mark Boll wins over Quentin Tarantino. I think this is going to be the makeup call for Inglourious Basterds, and it's going to go to Quentin Tarantino for Django Unchained.
Yeah, I'm going to be rooting for Zero Dark 30, but I think that for some reason now we're just a whole bunch of Zero Dark 30 haters, and it's not going to get the love that it deserves. I mean, I just like genuinely feel bad for Catherine Bigelow. I mean, why should I feel bad for her when she has a flourishing career and she already has her Oscars and all that? But I don't know. It doesn't feel fair.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, what? Where did all this hate come from for Zero Dark 30? Like, when we saw that film, I've seen it again. I am floored by that movie. I am mesmerized. I am with it. I think it's a great film. And I just don't understand why people are so down on that movie.
I don't really get it either. It's disappointing. I mean, at least we know that Jessica Chastain's probably a sure thing for the Best Actress win.
I don't know. The popular opinion seems to be... I just blanked on her. Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook.
Nah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think everyone loves Jennifer Lawrence, and I would absolutely kill to see her get up there and make a speech, because I think that every speech and every public appearance she makes is, like, filled with this, like, natural, like, genuine appreciation for what she does, but it's so fun and hilarious at the same time that I would just pay to see her make a speech for the fun of it. But I don't know. I think Jessica Chastain has that pretty wrapped up really neatly at this point.
I would agree with you. I would say either her or Emmanuel Riva for Amour. I thought she was fantastic in the film. And by the way, did you? I know you like BuzzFeed quite a bit. Did you see that thing about BuzzFeed with Jennifer Lawrence?
I've seen all their Jennifer Lawrence things, and they're hilarious.
Like the quoting GIFs of Jennifer Lawrence interviews. I thought that was great.
There's two of them. There's that one, and then there's this new one, I think, that is – it's like reasons Jennifer Lawrence deserved the Golden Globe, and that's a really funny thing too. Or like highlights of her night at the Golden Globes or something like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Anytime I can watch an interview or read an interview with Jennifer Lawrence, it's going to be something quite special.
Then again, I might also pay to see Quvenzhané Wallace get up there and make a speech, because – I interviewed that girl last summer, and yes, she's a very talented actress, but she is still a child, and she still behaves like a child, and it could be really funny to see her thank the Academy for a win.
I don't think she has a chance, but
neither.
I guess it's nice to see her up there, but I doubt she's – I think she has the least amount of chance to win this award.
More the impossible. I mean, I'm glad Naomi Watts got a nomination, but that movie should be in for Best Picture. I don't understand why that's not getting more attention.
I think it was just kind of lost in the shuffle. I mean, it didn't have a really big release either in New York or LA. And then when my screening was like kind of half full when I saw it, I thought it was a great film. I liked The Impossible quite a bit. I understood why you get a horror director to direct a movie like that, even though it's not a horror film. But I think there's also the controversy around The Impossible that it's supposed to be in reality it was a Spanish family, but in the movie it's a white British family.
Oh please, big deal. I mean, why is that such a big deal? They're doing anything to hurt that Spanish family. It's not like it like takes away from their story. It's still the same story. They just got really talented actors. Then they just don't happen to be Spanish. Like, big deal.
Yeah, I think it's that idea that since it's based on a true story, why take so many liberties with it? That's what I think it's from.
I think that might stem to the fact that it is Naomi Watts and Ewan McGregor, which is funny because the film didn't get that much attention anyway, so their names ultimately amounted to not that much.
Yeah, I think that is a pretty big injustice. I like the movie, and I wish it got a little bit more recognition. But it seems I think that's the only Oscar it was nominated for was Naomi Watts.
Yeah, I think it is too.
But who do you think is going to win for Best Supporting Actress, since we're talking about the acting category?
Supporting, I think that is definitely going to Anne Hathaway. And I think she deserves it. I mean, I'm a big Jackie Weaver fan just because I'm also obsessed, like, not even with Silver Linings Playbook, but the Animal Kingdom. Like, she freaks me out in that to no end. But, I mean, like, the other two acting categories, Daniel Day-Lewis and Jessica Chastain, I think Anne Hathaway has this in her back pocket already.
Yeah, I mean, it was only really like 10 minutes of screen time in Les Miserables, but what 10 minutes? Those were great 10 minutes, probably the best 10 minutes of the movie. And I guess with Jackie Weaver, I was surprised that she was nominated for Silver Linings Playbook. She's really hardly in the movie. I'm a huge fan of Jackie Weaver as well. I was happy that she was in this movie, and I love Animal Kingdom. And Perry, I recommend checking out her early Australian work, where she's in like a lot of horror exploitation or sexploitation films. I highly recommend checking that stuff out. But Jackie Weaver is pretty phenomenal. With the acting award, I will say yes, Daniel Day-Lewis has it. I don't see anyone else in this these nominations that could beat Daniel Day-Lewis. Although I kind of wonder why Bradley Cooper was nominated for Silver Linings Playbook. I think he's fine in the film, but I don't know if it was really Oscar worthy.
I think he's really good. I mean, when, you know, back when I reviewed it, I even said, you know, Jennifer Lawrence kind of outshines him a little, so it takes away from his performance. I wouldn't mind seeing Hugh Jackman take it, though. I mean, I wasn't the biggest Les Mis fan, but I don't know. I think someone like that needs to be honored for giving so much of himself to a role.
And for Best Supporting Actor, I don't know who it's going to go to. Maybe Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln.
Yeah, this one's the biggest toss-up.
Yeah, it seems like it could either go to any one of these five guys. Robert De Niro in Silver Linings Playbook is pretty good. Even Christoph Waltz in Django Unchained is phenomenal.
If I got to pick, it would go to Christoph Waltz. I'm so happy that Christoph Waltz got the nomination for Django. And I mean, not that Leonardo DiCaprio didn't earn it too, but between the two, if I had to pick one, I would give it to Christoph Waltz in a heartbeat.
See, I would have went with Samuel L. Jackson because I thought he had the better performance out of all three of them.
He's a lot of fun. I absolutely loved that character and had a blast with it. But at the same time, he felt a little more like a cartoon, whereas Christoph Waltz had that flair to him, but he felt like a real person at the same time.
Yeah, I guess. And also with Leonardo DiCaprio, he is the villain of the movie, but he's still pretty charming. Pretty charming guy, even though he's doing terrible, terrible things to people. And again, with this supporting actor field, it could really go to any one of these actors, even Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master. And I'm actually surprised The Master doesn't have a lot of recognition, not even cinematography. I would have loved to see it get nominated for Best Picture, but
they've also got Amy Adams in there.
Yeah, Amy Adams was great. I think if there is a dark horse in the supporting actress role, if it magically does not go to Anne Hathaway, it most likely will go to Amy Adams.
I don't know. I wouldn't mind if it didn't go to Anne Hathaway. I'd kind of want it to go to Helen Hunt. Sessions is like, it's a really good movie. I didn't have much of an natural interest to see it. I saw it because it was doing well and people, you know, say it's a really well-made movie. And I saw it and I was really into it. And now that I say that, I'm actually really surprised that John Hawkes isn't in there for a leading role, for actor in a leading role. He's pretty incredible in that movie.
Yeah, I saw The Sessions last year at Sundance when it was called The Surrogate, and I thought John Hawkes was great in the film. I actually really enjoyed William H. Macy playing his priest. I thought he was pretty great in the movie as well. I'm surprised that didn't get a lot of nominations in terms of acting, but I think out of all of them, Helen Hunt was clearly the one that was going to get the nomination.
That's another one that's kind of, you know, suffering from having flown under the radar a little too much.
Yeah, I think, I mean, namely, she also gets naked in the movie, so that's a plus. But she was pretty great in the film. And I think for foreign language film, I think it's a lock for Amore, since it was nominated for Best Picture. I've only seen the only other movie I've seen from foreign language film was No, the Chilean film.
Mm.
And documentary. I've seen all of these except The Gatekeepers and Five Broken Cameras. And I would say Searching for Sugar Man would probably be the one I would pick.
Yeah, I'm not as up on my docs as I should be. I saw How to Survive a Plague, but you know, it was well done and all of that. But I can't say that I was swept away by it. Where. I might want to give it this award.
The movie that I would love to win an Oscar for the best animated short film, Paper Man. The short film.
I love Paper Man.
Yeah, the short film that played before Wreck-It Ralph. I would love to see that win.
I would love to see that win too, but I also feel silly saying it considering I haven't seen the other ones. Like, for all I know, those are all great too.
They probably are, but not to sound reductive to the other four nominees, but I don't know, like the Maggie Simpson in The Longest Daycare. I don't see that getting an Oscar, but I think out of the, because it is the most popular, most likely Paper Man will win.
I want to see Adele win for best original song. I want her to make another speech too. I just want these people to win for the sake of making the Academy Awards ceremony fun to watch through speeches.
I think Adele is a lock for Skyfall.
Song from Ted could win? Come on.
I know Seth MacFarlane is performing that song. I don't know if I don't really remember that song from Ted, to be honest with you. But we'll see when the Oscars are broadcast. I mean, I'm looking forward to Seth MacFarlane hosting, speaking of which. I'm a huge fan of Family Guy. I still watch it every Sunday, and I subscribe to his humor. So that hopefully it will be. I'm with you. Hopefully it will be a fun ceremony.
It should be interesting to see how he handles it. I mean, he's got a lot to follow after Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. I mean, I think the Golden Globes was easily this year's Golden Globes was easily one of the most entertaining award shows I've seen in years.
Yeah, it feels like the Oscars are kind of kicking themselves for not getting Amy Poehler and Tina Fey to host now.
Seriously.
Because how could you top that? I mean, I think that they're just – because they're such good friends, they have that natural charisma, and they're just so funny together. You really feel that on stage. And the Golden Globes were surprisingly fun to watch this year because of the hosts.
It was also just a really well, you know, produced show. It was fast-paced. They churned out the awards pretty quick. You know, a lot of the speeches were either outrageous or like truly thoughtful and heartwarming. Everything just like came together really well.
Too bad that that award it doesn't have that same kind of recognition as the Oscars.
Hmm.
I guess lastly, original score. Which movie do you think is going to win the original score out of this lot?
That's a good question.
I mean, I think something like Argo, because the a lot of the movie is dependent on the score. I think that has a really good chance of winning the Oscar.
Yeah. I guess I don't know. I'm also thinking Lincoln could take it too.
I like John Williams a lot, but I think his score for Lincoln wasn't very dynamic. Well, I don't think a lot of things in Lincoln were very dynamic, but I don't know. The score for Lincoln just seemed so much like a John Williams score that it really didn't stick out to me so much.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it could go to really any of them except maybe, I don't know. I wanted to cross off Anna Karenina, but even that I think still has a shot.
How dare you? Anna Karenina's great.
Stop it. I don't like Anna Karenina.
I was appalled to see that on your worst of 2012 list.
Speaking of which, AWFJ, the critics organization that I'm in, named Anna Karenina, I'm going to butcher this title. It was like the movie that you wanted to love but just couldn't. So I'm not alone.
I guess. I unapologetically loved Anna Karenina. One of your favorite movies, Hitchcock, was only nominated for one Oscar.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's going to win. I don't really understand why it was even nominated for that. I think there's better makeup and hairstyling out there.
Yeah, I think it's probably the makeup of Anthony Hopkins as
That's a weird Hitchcock. Category. Why is there only three? And, like, why isn't, like, Anna Karenina in there and Lincoln?
Yeah, for like, at least Aaron Taylor Johnson's mustache, that should get some recognition. In this category, I do think this is the one The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey will win because it has such crazy hair.
And where's The Hunger Games? Come on. That is really cool makeup and hairstyling. I wanted The Hunger Games to get one nomination.
I don't know if you remember this, Perry, but last year, after we saw The Hunger Games, I said that this movie was going to get nominated for Best Picture, and I was wrong.
Yeah, wrong. I thought you were wrong back then. I didn't want you to be wrong, but I didn't think that would ever happen.
And I remember saying, mark my words, this will definitely get in there.
I wrote a whole piece about it. I haven't revisited it in a while. I think I probably said it would get nominated for visual effects and costume work and stuff like that. But I'm a little disappointed it didn't get a single thing. At least Jennifer Lawrence is in there representing.
Which is why I think she has a better chance than Jessica Chastain. I think Jessica Chastain was great in Zero Dark Thirty. She was my favorite thing in the movie. But because The Hunger Games did so well, it might go to Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook because of The Hunger Games.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
And my piece that I wrote on March 29th, which is on Shockya.com as well, why The Hunger Games will be nominated for a Best Picture Oscar.
I need to go look at that again.
Yeah, it's pretty lengthy too. Wow, this is a lot of words, and I was really saying yes, this is going to be the movie that will. And I look kind of foolish now.
Well, we can all keep our fingers crossed for Catching Fire.
Yes. So with that, let's wrap up this episode of the AuteurCast. Where can we find you online, Perry Nemiroff?
You can find me at Shockya.com, ScreenRant.com, and Movies.com. And you can also catch me on Twitter. My handle is P Nemiroff. That's PNEMIROFF.
Yes. So you can catch her tweeting pictures of ketchup bottles. You can follow her on Twitter.
It's a funny ketchup bottle. Come on.
Yeah, what was the caption on the ketchup bottle?
I think it said instead of saying like Heinz or a brand, it was just a label that said "I'm tasty."
If you want gems like that, follow Perry Nemiroff on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter as well. I'm at Rudy_Obias. That's RUDIE_OBIAS. AuteurCast.com, Shockya.com, GiantFreakinRobot.com, and everything that is Rudy will be found at RudyObias.com, including this piece that I wrote about why The Hunger Games will be nominated for Best Picture Oscar. On the next episode of Movie Night, we're going to be discussing Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. We're not sure if Paramount will screen that for press, but they don't, then this episode will be probably a couple days late because we'll get an opportunity to see it on Friday like everyone else. So closing out this episode of Movie Night, thank you so much for listening to our show. Goodbye.